When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Charmed, and welcome back to Let Me Ruin Your Life with me, Serena Shahidi. Hello, how are you? I hope you're doing well. I just wanted to do a quick little introduction because this is the first guest in many, many moons on here, and hopefully not the last, but I'm very excited to be talking with a friend of the pod, a friend of mine, and a returning guest, Marlo Granados, who is a fantastic writer, notably of the novel Happy Hour, which I am such a big fan of, and just a fabulous and very interesting person. So without further ado, Marlo. Hello, Marlo. How Hi. Are you?
I'm good. How are you? I've missed you.
I know, I've missed you too.
What's been happening? What's been happening in the world?
Weirdly, I've had a busy day, which is very unlike me. I've had to do meetings.
Disgusting.
With some people.
I hate meetings.
How's your day been?
Oh, very relaxed. You know, I do want to get into it because I was like, oh, like, what do I want to talk about on Serena's podcast? Like, one of the topics that I would like to talk about is, well, like that New York Times weird thing about like dating a podcaster.
Oh my God. I read that. Well, there was an article about like dating a podcast bro. Mm-hmm. Should we discuss that? Let's get into it. I want to ask you about your life and your lifestyle. But first of all, thoughts on the New York Times article about dating a podcast bro.
Okay, so the thing is, though, that I actually am an unlikely podcast consumer. I consume podcasts like nobody's business. I will burn through. But you know what, though? I like listen to reported things. I like when they have some work. I don't like when they're just these men like in a circle talking about Lord knows why. I actually
the war on masculinity.
I don't care. I'm not like super curious about what men get up to when they're alone with each other. I have like my own ideas and sometimes a little like erotic ideas of what they get into, but you know,
they
I don't
kiss passionately. Yeah.
No, just, I mean, I've seen what they do on Love Island. The boys, they kiss on the lips sometimes just for fun.
Wasn't there a clip from Love Island where they were like, do you want to play dinosaurs? And then they were like, oh, yes, running around, like playing like dinosaur. I mean, I think in my most optimistic view, that's what men do together.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was that clip. And then also recently, the two boys taking a bubble bath together.
I'll have to start watching. I'll have to tune in. This sounds interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the thing is, it's like, I guess the framework of the article, which goes into the ideas of like how being related to the podcast world is automatically like a red flag. I get that. I don't really know anything. Like, I mean, like if you're working for like iHeartRadio or Wondery, I'm not thinking that you're like what I'm, my idea of like what a podcast bro is.
Yeah.
Like you're just, that's like your day job. Good for you. You got to do that while like the podcast industry was on a high and people were like giving money away for that. That seems fine. It's like being like in advertising. It's fine.
The ones who took, because there are so many podcasts, especially run by men, that talk about just like dating and men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And the differences between men and women. And like mm-hmm. what strategy we should be using in dating. And I cannot imagine going on a date with someone and being like, oh, they were fine. I mean, it probably wasn't a good date, but mm-hmm. you know, being like, oh, whatever, that's a person. And then finding a podcast episode where they're talking about that.
Yeah.
They're like Barney Stinsoning it up? How I Met Your
Yeah.
Mother?
I don't know that. I was like, I guess what else I will
Neil
say.
Patrick Harris and How I Met Your Mother.
Okay. Well, I mean, have you ever gone on a date with a podcast bro?
No. Well, I don't go on dates with like creative guys.
Is it creative? I mean, okay, so I'll admit that
I don't know if it's creative.
I have been on a date with a podcasting guy and it was catastrophic. I don't know. It wasn't catastrophic. It was just kind of like I was like so taken aback. Like it was one of these things where we like grew out of the pandemic where we would like kind of like FaceTime all the time and like chat before we'd met, right?
Right.
I had like many internet boyfriends during the height of the pandemic. I had like
Yeah,
six.
your standards get weird during a pandemic. And it's just
So
like, if
weird.
you'll answer my FaceTime calls, you're my boyfriend.
And I had like several, I was just like talking all day. I don't even know what I was talking about, whatever. So when we finally actually like met, we like went out for dinner. And like for me, I felt like already like kind of like I kind of hated this person. This person was very like I was ignited in my, I guess it's not like an attraction, but you know when you have like this kind of disdain for someone that you're like, oh, you know, I actually kind of just want to like hook up and then get it out of my system.
There's something sexual about disliking somebody.
Oh, absolutely. And it was like very like clear that this is what I was just trying to do at this point. But I sit down and like almost like immediately, like we hadn't even gotten, I don't even think we got water yet, like to the table. He like took a picture of me, like and like posted it like on Instagram.
Saying what?
Just like
What?
tagging me. And I was like, oh my God,
Oh
what?
my God.
Clout chaser. Like, stop.
You had like more followers than him or no?
I think it was just like the kind of person he was. It was just like very,
Yeah.
like, just, you know, and I was like, huh, interesting. And then I felt like I was being, I was like, he was like an operator. You know what I mean? Like, he was like, we did dinner, you know, he paid for the bill. And then he like ushered me, he like shuffled me to like a bar to have like an after dinner drink. And then he shuffled me to his house. And it just felt like so like he'd done this so many times
He was like
before.
strategizing. Yeah.
Like, this is part of his thing.
What was his podcast about?
I can't say. It's like a bigger one of those kind of like he's not on it. He produces it.
Oh,
And
okay.
he does like the music. And
Interesting. Interesting choice of career path.
I'll get to that part in a second. And yeah, he basically it's like a leftist kind of like conspiratorial podcast-ish.
Okay, I get the vibe.
Yeah, like a lot of like into like Epstein, like just stuff like this.
They love Epstein. I know exactly the kind of podcast you're talking about. They love Epstein.
Yeah,
They're
and
obsessed.
it was just kind of interesting because I think he had like moved to New York and he would have been like very like I think he'd been very popular with the ladies. I think also like a bit popular with like the kind of woman who's like really into that kind of podcast,
And it
you
doesn't take
know.
a lot to be popular with them.
No, it's like very like boys, girls, you know, like just
Yeah.
whereas for me, I'm like, I don't think it's like that cool that we're like hanging out together. I don't think it's like whatever. I'm just doing this because we need to finish this. We
Yeah.
need
You're not like,
to
oh my God,
finish this.
30 people on Twitter would be so excited to hear I'm on a date with him.
Exactly. It's that would like honestly, it's embarrassing. Anyways, and then the thing is that what really was like the hilarious part of this evening was first he like sat me down on his couch and showed me photo albums.
When men do that,
But it was like
when
of
men do that,
his
they.
photography.
Oh my God.
Photography.
No, what was this photography?
Just like I don't know. He was like asking me like if I'd ever had like shot on film before, like not really like I guess like not remembering that like before I was a writer, I like was actively like in the arts or whatever. So I was like, yes, I've shot on film before. Like, just don't mind me. I've showed, okay. Anyways, and so he's like showing me things, but then like in the album, there were also like pictures of him that his friends or like girls he was seeing had taken.
Oh my God.
So like it was all this scenic views of whatever, punctuated by photos of him. It gets
Not even
worse
his
though.
photography. Okay. Oh my God. What does
So
he show
then
you
he's like,
next? His TikToks?
his synth room.
What the hell is that?
Like synthesizers in the room.
Oh my God.
So I'm standing in the doorway, Serena, and he's like doing like his little bops. He's like playing me little bops. You know
He's
how
Charlie
synthesizers sound?
Puthing. He's Charlie Puth on Jimmy Fallon-ing
Yeah,
you.
he's like do 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 do. I was like, oh my God. And then after all this, he was like, oh, like I don't think we should hook up. I need to go to the gym tomorrow. I was like,
Oh my God, because guys like that believe that like ejaculation kills their man powers. That is so weird.
Yeah, it was
Isn't
very
that, can
strange.
you imagine doing that yourself as a woman? Like showing a man your own creative work, like go taking him back to your apartment and then being like, here's my novel, bitch. Read up
Mean,
in
yeah,
front
like
of
I
me.
mean, but the thing is, I don't even know what the photo albums were for. Like, I don't understand because it wasn't something he was pursuing. I just like maybe he was like, these are the things I've seen. And then also me and my Fit pics
Do you ever have
printed
a
out.
guy just like, and this has only happened to me when I've dated like 25-year-olds, which is why I try to do at least late 20s, but they like sit you down and like walk you through their camera roll.
Oh my God, no. What?
This is a thing. I've seen TikToks about this. Like young guys, they will be like, look at this meme I saved the other day.
Like, I don't know. Just put it in a like a folder. I don't know. Like, what do you want me to do with
Yeah, what do you
it?
want me to say? This isn't even like your thing. This is something you saw on Twitter. It's the
That's so
craziest thing.
weird.
So, what's the usual profession of the men you date? Don't you date like professors?
Yes, actually, this goes into like another part of thing that I wanted to talk to you about. But maybe we'll save it for later. Yeah, I usually date philosophy professors, which is just like it's just
So
like.
specific.
Well, I don't know. It's just, and it's funny because like the wrong kind of philosophy professor could be like honestly like the worst person in the world, but it's for some reason. I think it's also just because like maybe like they, I feel like philosophers are very very like open to things, and also they can be skewed in different ways because like they themselves like are never really like so set on like a set of like principles or theories. So I feel like when like I'm there, I'm so definite that I feel like it's a good mix. You know, when someone's like very like a little bit like, oh, I could be convinced about something, and I'm like, oh no, like there is no way I would do anything else but this one thing. And yeah, that's kind of my thing. I mean, since I talked to you, I don't know, my life is just, I've been actually actively trying to do less.
Okay, love it. Yeah, what does a day in Marlo's life look like? Because you live in Canada,
Toronto. Yeah, I live in
Toronto.
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 I have like a little one bedroom here and I have three animals now. You know, I'm just growing the farm. And my day-to-day, honestly, the thing is that it's like if I have an assignment, I have to do something like, I'm writing a piece or reporting something. The decompression process for me has to be like 2 weeks. I'm like, I don't want to do anything for 2 weeks.
I was just talking to my therapist earlier today. I was like, if I have to do one task, I need 3 days off after that. And that's not
Absolutely.
even writing a piece. That's like going to the grocery store.
I know. And so I guess like my thing is like I've been really trying to close my fitness ring thing on my phone where it like is like counts your steps, and I'm like really like kind of obsessed about, I'm like this with lots of things like points cards or like anything that's like tracking things, like I like to like close the circle. So I've been trying to do that, like, so, but you know, like closing my circle takes about 2 hours, and that's only like, that's not even like that far. Like a lot of people I think burn like do much more exercise, but like 2 hours of my time is like just walking from one store to another, like over the course of a day.
That's your exercise, specifically walking from store to store.
Yeah, that's the only,
Glamorous.
you have to just, I feel like once you get like a destination in mind, you're like, okay, I'm gonna head that way, and then I'm gonna just pop over there for to look if they have something. That's
Well,
all.
the best workout, I think, like the best way to get as many steps in as possible is to like have something that you want to buy that like isn't available at a lot of stores. And just going from store to store, you will go to 10,000 steps without even realizing it.
Oh, 100%. And also, like, if you go to like a vintage store or something, and the racks are really tight, your arms start hurting
Oh my God, that's a workout. Yes. Or when you're buying a bunch of stuff and there's like a long line, you have to carry it.
Yeah, it's like when you go to the airport, you know, like every time I go to an airport, I break a nail. Like it's impossible to be to not feel like it's like such a workout.
I love being in a new place, but I hate the process of traveling and having a suitcase that you have to like pick up, put it in the overhead bin.
Oh, I don't
Horrible.
even I don't do carry on anymore. I just have to check everything
Oh,
in because
smart.
I can't do it, because again, the there's something about those small moments of physical stress that I don't like, because it my whole body gets like hot when I'm trying to do something like that. I don't like it. I try to
Well, I
avoid.
try to go into full like damsel in distress, like pretending to look in the front of my car, the under the hood of my car. I don't even know what it's called, like on the side of the highway, being like, oh my God, how do we even get this up on this bin? So, you get your steps in. What do
Yeah,
you
I've been
have like
doing
a
that.
routine?
Not really. I mean, like the thing is that I really I've been a mushroom store opened near my house. I think it's illegal, but
Oh, work. I mean, New York, like all the bodegas sell weed now.
oh, good. Well, here it's like a real weed is like a like every third store is a weed dispensary. So, I mean, I'm not really into that because, you know, I feel like me and you don't mesh well with that.
No, because I like a social something.
I'm an upper kind of girl. I'm a
Yeah. I can like sit on my couch and watch TV. I don't even have a couch, but I can hypothetically sit on it and watch TV all night. Without the assistance of something.
Yeah, and I don't like the way that marijuana makes my eyes dry.
Yes, and your mouth.
And your mouth.
Horrible.
Yeah. It's not for me. So yeah, I went to the mushroom store, and I again another errand that I like to walk to. And I've been experimenting with like microdosing. I mean, it doesn't really do. I was like, honestly, I think I need a higher dosage. I was like, I think we need to go like higher and higher, you guys. And they're just like these like two guys in there where I always go with my dog, like my small Pomeranian. I'm like, doo, 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 like in my full length coat, like mink coat. And I'm like, hi, excuse me. would you suggest for this? And they're like, well, like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I don't know. And they're like, maybe blue meanies for like it'll brighten your day. And I'm like, okay, how much brightening are we talking? Because I don't think 100 milligrams is gonna work for me.
Yeah, let's turn the brightness all the way up. I tried to microdose. I spent $100 on a jar of capsules, and I tried it for like a month. Didn't notice a single difference.
But the thing is that I think it's like I mean, it's because like I think all, in addition to all the other things, it may not shine through as much.
Yeah, I'm putting a whole bunch of random shit in
Yeah,
my body.
it's
Just the energy
all
drinks
kinds.
alone. Nothing's going through
Oh.
that.
Oh God, not energy drinks. Oh my God.
Yes, energy drinks.
I
Although
might
if I'm
go just
feeling
one
organic, I do a
coffee.
yerba mate.
Okay, yeah, that's like fresh. It's like kombucha, isn't it? It's like something like that.
It's tea. It's
Okay.
like very caffeinated though.
Fun.
It's
I
everything.
mean, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, that's what kind of what I've been doing. I don't know. I like try. I've been off Twitter like a lot, like a large amount. Like ever since Elon bought it, I'm like, this
Good.
is like so dead. And yeah, so I don't have that much. I went on it today just to like browse, and it made me so like crazy and angry and annoyed that
Well,
I
it's
was
terrible
like,
'cause everybody hates everything on Twitter. Like it could be like the most beloved like person or like book or movie or whatever it is that people are talking about. And as soon as it gets on Twitter, 10,000 quote tweets, everyone hates it. And it's like, girl, like somebody could post a picture of Mr. Rogers and it would get ratioed. That's what Twitter is. It's a terrible place.
I know. It's crazy. I mean, like, I always think it's funny when I see like references to you on there.
Oh my God, Spellfarrow. They talk about that nonsense. It's been 2 years. I feel like the woman in Titanic, it's been 84 years.
I know. It's so crazy. And I'm always like, I wonder how Serena feels about this.
Tired. No, it is funny, but I'm just like, aren't they bored? Like, it is weird. Twitter just, they love eating that shit up.
Yeah,
I can't believe the cycle in which it goes viral.
Mm-hmm.
It's like every few months.
I know. So it comes up and I'm like, whoa, this is interesting. That's my daughter.
Mother, protect me from the miserable tweeters.
Honestly, they're so annoying. But yeah, no, I think that basically like trying to do as little as possible is helping me with my gagging problem, which we've talked about before.
Oh yeah, you have anxiety gagging.
Anxiety gagging. Oh my God, stop. It was getting so bad. But then I realized that like the more I was working, the more it came out. Like just like when I was like being, when I had to travel for work and stuff, I was like going from here and there and it was just too much. And then I was getting like so
club, another ramped club, up. Gag, another
yeah.
club.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm just trying to like mitigate that. And then, I don't know. I'm just like figuring out, I'm like painting a lot, which is just like for fun. And also
people love it.
Buying stuff for me. Cause I was like, how much should I charge for this stuff? Cause it's like, I also feel like people don't know how much like things cost because like so many people will message me and when I'll say like how much they're like, oh no, I can't. I'm like, okay, well, like, you know, I'm like, it's not like a book because like that's like mass produced. Like I'm like sitting at my easel.
Yeah,
like,
you
old
hand
school.
painted it. Well, nobody knows how much everything costs now because we're like,
exactly.
You know, buying prints on Amazon.
I know.
It's crazy.
I know.
Did you see when people, this is, you know, miserable Twitter stuff, but when people were like getting mad at one girl because she was like reselling stuff that she found at a thrift store, somebody was like, oh my God, look at this Depop listing. And she was selling like a great, like vintage leather coat for $120. Mm. And people were like, that's ridiculous. Like they don't know.
They don't know. They also don't know how long it takes to like fucking like post a Depop listing. Oh my God. It's like at least 15 minutes. Like, and then you have to take
yeah,
the
it's
picture.
It's not it's just like the garment. It's like the whole process. I mean, I
Someone
don't really give a fuck
for
about
you.
The resellers. Yeah. You didn't have to like go get thrift store smell on you.
I was just thinking about thrift store smell, like when you said, like before you even said that. Yeah, when it gets on your hands, I can't. Ugh, it's
oh
like
my
so specific
God.
The smell.
It's so specific. I don't even know where it comes from. I mean, I guess it's just like.
And it smells the same everywhere.
Yes, that's the thing. It's not like a regional thing of like, oh, people here are like wearing this perfume. So that makes sense. It's just ubiquitous thrift store smell.
Yeah. Ugh. No, it's.
So are you like. You're like going out. Are you still party girl? Miss Party
you know,
Girl?
It's funny because well, I'm hosting my little salon things at the Ace Hotel in Toronto, which is like once a month, like every third Sunday, which is like really nice because that was kind of for me kind of trying to be like, you know what? Like people don't like chat anymore to other people. So, you know, I kind of do the event where I kind of go in and I feel like people have told me before that I'm very like Girl Scout leader. So, you know, I go in and I pop around the different tables and I'm like, hi, like, do you know anyone here? Like you just moved here, like come sit with these girls. They're like a whole established group of friends and you can just meet these girls and talk to them, whatever. And that's kind of like what I like about it. Like, I don't know. The parties in Toronto are kind of, it's weird because it's kind of like the parties are really young here. Like the people who go out in Toronto are like very young. I feel like it's not like bigger cities with like New York where it's like at least like intergenerational, you know? So like sometimes I feel like if I go somewhere, it's just a lot of like also like that Berlin music, which I hate. I can't do it. I like going out to restaurant. I like do that thing. You know, I still like randomly will end up at a strip club. You know, this is, I like
Of
to do that
course.
kind of thing, but not like actual full parties. Although I'm supposed to go to one on Thursday, but I don't know. I don't like the person who's, I don't like the company that's like running it. I don't like the guy who owns the company. So I was like, really like, you know, I don't want to go like, cause I said to my friend who was trying to get me to come, I was like, but do they deserve me to be there?
That's the question. See, I don't let the, I can't do like house parties. I can't even say like, I can't do house parties anymore. Cause I like never could, but it's just, I don't know. That stuff's exciting when you're like in high school, I guess.
Yeah.
But after that, it's like, I want like a curated vibe. I want to be able to talk to people.
Yeah.
I want to be able to like squeeze past people to go to the bathroom. Like it's just not as fun without those pleasures.
Yeah. I think this thing, I don't even know what it is. I think it's like probably at like the office or the headquarters of wherever this company thing is. And I was like, it's like open bar. And I'm like, okay, well, you know what the thing is though, is that also in my grand age of 31 at this point, I do get like kind of like in arguments with people. Like I just out.
About so what?
I don't know. Like, especially with men, like, I think that sometimes they're just like, I just like, I don't like the way you move as the, like, as a, in Love Island terms, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I don't like your reputation. I don't like what you do. I don't like how you like date like way younger than you. And you're a bit of a greasy guy. Like, I don't have to be nice to you. So, you know, I always a little bit of conflict, but I have to be the steward in this town of, it's always like that for some reason. There's always like all these men here. There's too many men here that are like, people are fine with letting live too freely. I'm like, I'm not interested.
Sometimes you just got to get in there and be the one bitch who's like, listen, I don't like you. I don't like what you stand for.
Yeah,
I don't like how you move. I can't do a Love Island accent, but
Scott,
I got to start watching. I saw like one episode of Love Island at my friend's apartment once. Well, like everybody was on ketamine and everybody in the room, not on Love Island. I don't know. And it was so fun. Isn't Love Island the one where they like stand in front of each other and have to like choose one?
Yeah.
That is there's nothing I would hate more than being in a situation like that, but watching it, I'm rubbing my hands together.
You know what?
Can't hear.
I would love you to be on Love Island. I think that would be really fun.
Well, the thing is, I would hate everybody there. I wouldn't want to date anyone. Like,
no, I know.
Which would probably be entertaining. But every time I watch one of those like dating shows, I'm like, God, I would absolutely hate to date any of these people.
Yeah.
Do you watch The Bachelor?
I don't, but I know so many people that do. I feel like it's a thing. But the thing is that I was an early watcher of The Bachelor, like when it first, like when I was like little and it came out, and I was like, this is a fun show. And now I feel like there's been more interesting iterations of it.
Yeah.
But I did investigate that whole Colton thing after it happened. I was like, what happened there? Yeah, I think so. The one that like went over the wall.
What do you mean?
He,
I don't know what happened. I just know
he like ran off. He like took his mic off and like disappeared for a day or something when he was like,
and it made him gay.
That was way later. And then he got like a restraining order against.
Oh yeah.
Or yeah, something like that. Yeah,
that's crazy. I tried to watch like an episode of The Bachelor. First of all, the first episode of this latest season was an hour and a half. So like obviously I couldn't get through it. But I tried to watch it because I saw one clip on TikTok where The Bachelor was like, he was doing a toast and he was like, I love family, football, and frozen pizza. And the girls were like, yes, bitch. And I was like, that's so stupid. I have to watch it. And then I didn't even get around to that point.
Oh my God. Well, you know, this season on Love Island, TikTok star Farmer Will is on there.
Who's that?
The one with the sheep. You must know. He's the guy with the sheep.
That sounds familiar.
He's always like on the farm and he's always like, this sheep like has too much fur and we need to shear that this poor girl or else she'll fall over and like not be able to get up. I don't know. Things like that.
Maybe. That's so Anyways, fun.
But I kept thinking, like, you know, it's funny in the first few, the first few weeks, no one wanted him. No one liked him because I think he was blonde and they were like, I don't like blondes. And I just kept being like, so he needs to tell them how many TikTok followers he has. Like, he's not just a farmer.
I'm not just a farmer. I'm TikTok famous. Well, nowadays you can't just be a farmer. Like, you have to be TikTok famous too.
Yeah, exactly.
Or else you're worthless.
Oh, I know.
Isn't it crazy that there are certain circles where if you're like, I have millions of TikTok followers, like, panties are on the ground. That's crazy.
It is crazy. It's weird. I mean, I don't understand it. I think I wanted to kind of talk about this with you because I feel like we were talking about it last time we spoke, just about like kind of reaching a certain like knownness, like prematurely, like public eye kind of knownness, and then like kind of having to either like backtrack from it or like keep it up must feel so exhausting.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I got TikTok followers when I was like 20, 21. And I'm like, I'm 23 now. So it's not a, but still, those ages are like a big difference. And now people are like, oh, well, you used to be this way when you were 20. And I'm like, and what the fuck was I doing? I don't know. I have nothing to say for her.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder what that's going to be like. Okay, my thing that I'm always actually concerned about, which I don't know why, but I'm always like, isn't it crazy how there's so many videos of us talking that someone could deep fake us like anytime?
Oh my God, that's true. That is
true. Have you ever thought of that?
I have thought of that. And part of me is like, whatever they want to deep fake, that would be, unless they did something horrible. If they just wanted to make like an embarrassing deep fake, I'd probably embarrass myself worse, like real. but I don't know. That's crazy.
I know. It's really weird. But I think that's like going to be like obviously the new form of fraud because everyone, all these young people have so many videos. That even if you don't have that many followers, it's like you at least have like 100 videos or something that you've made.
Yeah. Well, now there's like a scam recently where AI scammers are like using AI to find, just put somebody's voice like into their system. And then they call one of their loved ones with that person's voice being like, I'm in distress. I need help. Like, I guess I need scary. Money or something. Isn't that crazy?
That's so fucked. I hate that. No, that's so like... Uncanny Valley. I don't like it.
Yeah. Who do you think is going to be the first influencer to like say some crazy shit and then be like, actually, that was a deep fake? And should it be me?
Yeah, I think it should be you, obviously. I think that would be very funny. And just let me know and I can, if I ever see something that seems crazy, I will just text your personal line.
Or call me from an unknown number and say, hi, I need help. I need $3,000, as you always do.
Oh my God, of course. I don't know. I just wonder about like the, like it's weird because I think about it now, it's like almost everyone is so used to performing for their phones that I'm almost like, it's become like a kind of like other version of themselves that is like, it's like another layer of that I don't know. I find it interesting. It's more of like it's a more intense version of like, just like a social media, like self. It's like, cause you're like acting it and you're like doing this, or like and becoming a storyteller and doing all these things that I wonder how it's going to affect like I guess like this like I don't know like what will everyone become after I don't know like you know what I mean. Well, not everyone can be like a storyteller.
What's that quote? You have to be careful about what you pretend to be because you are what you pretend to be, something like that.
Like you'll turn into what you, I don't know.
Yeah. So maybe you pretend to be like someone good on social media and you'll turn into that. No, it really is crazy. Cause now there's like so much pressure for everybody to have like a personal brand. Like even if you're not like an influencer, if you're like a freelancer and you get some work from Instagram, you got to have a brand on there. If mm-hmm. you like want your TikTok to go viral, as so many people do, God knows why. It's not fun. Mm-hmm. You have to like create a brand. And it's just so crazy that like regular people are kind of almost going through some of the weird stuff that celebrities go through. Of like yeah, having to
it's
be this
really
thing.
Weird. It's very strange. And like the kind of like weird, I've just seen it where it's like, there's like certain groups of, I guess, girls maybe where like, if I look at the comments, like everyone's trying to piece together like the feuds and like what happened to their friendships and
girl,
stuff.
Selena Gomez and Hailey Bieber.
Oh yeah, obviously that, but I'm talking on a lesser scale.
But well, that's true. Oh my God. Do you remember that video, the couch guy? Where
oh yeah
yes it
yes.
was a, it
okay
was a
I remember
TikTok
hearing about this yes
where a girl like went to surprise her boyfriend. He was like on the couch next to a girl and he like didn't seem enthused to see her, but that became like a huge thing of like, girl, he's cheating on you, he doesn't
mm-hmm.
love you,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
oh you can
mm-hmm.
tell
Mm-hmm.
you saw him put his phone down, like
yeah
crazy stuff. And it's like they probably didn't have that many followers and thought they were just posting this to like their friends or something like that. And now millions of people are like, your man is going to leave you.
Yeah. No, I've seen the thing too, where it's like, people are like, this person doesn't seem okay. Like, I think like this person is like in a, like, a, like a, not like a, in a kind of like a hostage situation or something. And like the way that people like read between the lines is so crazy. I don't know. It's definitely like, I feel like sometimes Twitter makes me angry, but then like TikTok, sometimes I'm watching and I'm like, wow, like, I feel like this is really like, it's like, I don't know how to say this properly. It's almost like sanding down my, like, my critical senses in a way that I'm just like absorbing it almost without really processing what's happening. And then, yeah, it's really strange. I mean, I do think that like the presentation of video, like someone talking to a camera, is way more convincing than anything else. And then people are always like, oh, I saw this person say this on TikTok. So like, I just immediately thought it was probably true.
Yeah. How much teaching did we get growing up of like, don't believe everything you see on the internet? And now like people who are 10 years older than me are like, oh my God, I saw this 16-year-old girl say this psychology fact on TikTok. And now it's changed my worldview. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I need to just start. That needs to be my niche. I got to get into like psychology TikTok and come up with new symptoms for ADHD.
No, absolutely. No, I've looked, like sometimes those things come up and I'm like, wow, this is like such a different kind of racket that it's fascinating. I like it. I think it's like such a racket, but
it's
you know,
fun.
In like an interesting way. But yeah, I mean, unfortunately, a lot of the people in the comments think it's like 100%. They're like, oh my God, so me.
I love that when they're like, these are the symptoms, and it's like getting nervous sometimes, closing your mouth, like just
tapping your fingers or something,
shaking your leg. You have an anxiety disorder. And they never say gagging.
No, I know. I just want more solves for that, actually. I'm like, I was like looking online. It was like, have some salt. I'm like, what?
Have some salt.
I'm like, what the fuck? I'm going to carry on a little salt shaker with me everywhere. Stop. But what else is happening? I always like your little videos of you and your finance board.
Oh my God, thank
finance
you.
People.
the people I work with. I'm filming another one tomorrow. And one of the things we're going to talk about is the Podcast Bro article.
Oh, I love that.
That's in the Google Doc. You know what I want to talk about with you? I have my notes app open.
Oh, wow.
But speaking of the internet and kind mm-hmm. of psychology, because people keep talking about like the loneliness epidemic and like about mm-hmm. how, you know, all the men are alone now.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. And I know you've talked a lot about how like there isn't a lot of like romance and like sensuality mm-hmm. in our culture. What do you think we're getting wrong with that? How do we solve this?
I think people are very much like, I think there's a weird combination of people being too like serious about themselves. Mm-hmm. But I think that, like, and this is also like to do with the kind of the similar thing of what I'm talking about, like having an event where you, it's kind of very like part of the event that like you should be mingling with people. I think that people just have like, I have lacked like this kind of social ability, like this kind of dexterity to be able to like be in a situation and like make friends and actually put effort into like, you know, get someone's phone number that isn't like a romantic thing. I think that like
that, yeah, it isn't on a dating app or
but yeah, like I actually event. It's so weird, like I think that you know, I know that a lot of the times like a lot of my guy friends, like they're always like so struggling to make friends. Oh my god. Mm-hmm. It's just beyond. I'm like, honestly, I don't know how else to help you, like just go, like why do I have so many guy friends? I don't know. I just,
girl, I tried to set my male friend up platonically with an ex-lover of mine because I'm just, mm-hmm, like, your social life, uh-uh.
No. I know. It's so weird. I'm like, why don't you guys find something to go to together and then, like, set a date and then go? Maybe have a beer, get lunch. I don't know. Like, it's – I obviously understand that, like, people – also, like, I think there's like two types of people, like people who kind of have individual relationships with their friends and yeah, then other people who, I think this like stems from like university where they like go out like every single weekend together. It's like so close knit and it's like constant. I'm not like that kind of person, but I know some people who were like that. But I think that stems from like college life. Like, I think that's, yeah, very much like we went to college together, like we're best friends forever, and they like then they eventually just couple off and then like all just do couple things in like larger scales, like weddings and whatever. You see each other every weekend. But then like the other type where it's like you have like these individual friendships, it's also kind of about being a little bit more gregarious about like setting like a number of like how many times you want to see this person. Because like for me, I'm like, you know, I have so many great women friends and I'm like, sometimes I'm like, oh, I haven't talked to like a grown woman in like ages. I need to like, I'm like so desperate to like, you know, have like a good conversation about whatever. And I'm like, I have so many of these friends, but like, I have to be like, we are making this be a regular thing. Like we have, mm-hmm, to make this regular. And it's so hard. I don't know. It's also like, I feel like people like don't prioritize that like as much as like romance or work. Right. And I think,
yeah,
that you have to be able to like get yourself out of a situation that you feel isolated in, because otherwise, like, I don't know. I think that most of like the best parts of life are like when you're like in the world with other people. Yeah. Like, I don't
think, and spontaneous. Like, I think, yeah, it's so interesting how you said like people have trouble doing it like not in an environment where you're specifically supposed to romantically meet people. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I've talked about this on the podcast before. Like, first of all, there are so many dating apps now that are like promising to solve the problem of dating apps because like, mm-hmm, oh, they have a better technique and a, mm-hmm, better algorithm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's like trying to create the perfect digital environment for dating like is the problem. And yeah, also, oh my god, I saw this tweet, I had to quote tweet it and make fun of this person, but somebody was like, well, my friends and I tried to host a flirting party and it was a disaster. And I was like, what the but that's the thing, is like you can't just throw a flirting party.
Yeah, no, that's so weird.
You have to meet people in the world as a person. Yeah. And not just be like, come to this venue, we're going to flirt with each other. That's, first of all, sounds perverted and disgusting.
It's like there's something about that.
Yeah, exactly. It's gross. This is like a have chemistry with people party. Like, no, mm-hmm, it isn't. And it's like, people just don't understand like the way, I don't know, not everything should be an algorithm.
No, I think, yeah, like there's no way to like optimize that kind of interaction, I think. And like, I don't know. It's just weird to me because it's like technically you are like talking to people kind of all the time. Like I go, mm-hmm, out and I like I'm talking to people at like whatever, like the grocery store or whatever. And I think that now that I have the dog, like it's like kind of crazy, like I've all of a sudden like entered dog people land. Mm. And like, but the thing is that it's like, okay, like I'm pretty open for conversation about like with people or like very like whatever. I'm pretty, I feel like I'm warm in public and stuff. And like, it's fine to like do that. But honestly, like, I don't know. I was thinking about this with my friend recently. Like we were out just doing errands and he was like, oh, like, I think that everyone's having a weird day today because of like the interactions with like the people at the store or whatever for him were like a bit clipped. And I was like, but you weren't giving anything to them. Like, they're not going to be like, yeah. Hi.
Hey girl, except at Trader Joe's where they will.
I mean, but that was the thing. I was like, you're not really like putting that kind of energy out there to like receive that kind of response. And so yeah. I don't know. Like, I think that like it's also on other people. It's everyone's kind of job to be a little bit more like friendly and like open for a conversation or whatever. And I'm a little bit more, I think that like I have prepped myself to be, I just expect someone's going to say something to me all the time. I don't know. Like, I'm outside. I'm like, I think that I always have like my ears out just in case someone's like saying something to me and I can respond like properly or whatever. If someone's being weird, I can respond like accordingly anyways. But yeah, I think just like opening yourself up to a little bit more of a like social, I don't know, like just aspect of your life. Like, and I think it's also interesting to me, like how a lot of people are like that in New York, like where I'm like in New York, like everyone just like wants to chat. Like everyone's chatting a lot of the time. So you have to kind of be open to doing that. So I think that sometimes when people move to New York and they're not like, you know, like chatting with people or whatever, it's weird. I don't know.
And also if you're like sitting on a park bench, like head down, AirPods in, people aren't going to come up to you. Like you have to like, you do have to put that energy out. I feel like people are just very that. And then they're like, oh my God, why am I lonely? Like, this is the world's fault. This is the war on masculinity. And it's like, no, you like clearly you are projecting the image that nobody should talk to you. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think that also like, it's weird to me when I've always thought it was really funny when like people who were influencers, when you meet them in person, they're literally so awkward. And I'm like,
oh yeah.
Are you all right? Like you're being kind of rude. Like,
yeah.
Can't handle it. It's like so bizarre to me. I'm like, it's just like such a, I don't know. I remember I met this one girl and I was like, I literally was like, oh, I've watched your TikToks. Like you're so cute. Like whatever. And she was so like, I don't know, like taken back, but almost like disgusted that I brought up.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh my God. But what did I say? I don't know. I remember because she was talking about how she bought a skirt. Okay. She was like, oh, like I bought the skirt in one of her videos. And I was like, oh, you're wearing the skirt. But like,
as if she didn't post the video publicly. You know what I can't stand about these people? And like the thing about them is that they will like be online all day, scrolly, and be in this world because they're like, you know, on their own notifications tab. They're in this world where everybody cares about them. Mm-hmm. So then they go out into the real world and people are like, oh, I watched your TikToks. And they're like, of fucking course you do. And it's like, no, you have to... Like somebody is in the real world and they're telling you that they like purposefully follow you and watch your stuff. Say thank you, bitch.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm very like, I'm not that I'm like, I think I it's like breaking the fourth wall or something. I'm like, hey, like, I like your thing. You're so funny. Da, da, da. And I've always been like that kind of, and it's the same thing for me. Even when I see like actors or something, I'm always like, so like, I just have no ability to like be like calm, cool and collected about anything. I'm like, you know what? Like you over there.
Across the bar.
Do. Yeah.
Does like, that how would you approach a celebrity? What's your technique?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think it's like, it's sometimes I've been in situations where like, I don't know if I've ever told you this story of like when I like beckoned Greta Gerwig over to me, which was like, I was like 21 and she was like so uncomfortable, but I was like at a gallery and I beckoned her over and then she literally went like, who, me? And I was like, yes, you bitch, what? And yeah, this was just after Frances Ha, I think, came out. And I was like, oh, Greta, like, you don't have to be awkward. Like, I get it. Like, you don't have to do that thing. Like, I totally get you. I understand you. I'm like, her being like, looking around for like Noah Baumbach and being like, someone save me from this girl.
That is so funny. That is so alpha to like, just come hither instead of going up to her. It's like,
I know. I was just like, oh yeah, I don't know. I think that it's like, for me, like my approach generally is like, I just can't let people's attitudes affect the way that I behave towards them.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause sometimes people are just in a bad mood and it's like, you just got to approach them like they aren't.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really feel affected by other people's moods, but like, I also think that the only way that you're going to be able to like kind of turn them is to be like totally like Teflon to like whatever thing that they're doing. And that often works for me, like with like really grumpy writers, which is so annoying to be around. But like, I'm honestly like, I've been around like this one guy was like being just so like kind of like mean. And I was like, why are you acting like this? And he was like, honestly, like with the way that you like are, I feel like it brings out the worst in me. Like, I feel like I need to balance like your energy out. And I was like, okay, whatever floats your boat, but you're kind of being annoying.
Like, oh my God. Oh, writers. Wait, speaking of movies, can we talk about rom-coms? I want to talk about rom-coms. Because you host the Mean Reds, a podcast I was recently on. You talk about a lot of rom-coms. By the way, when I was on it, I listened to the Notting Hill episode because I just watched it and I loved it. Mm-hmm. And you did not like it. Tell me why you don't like Notting Hill.
I just think it's a little bit like it has a very high dial up for sentimentality, which I'm not really like into. And I wish there was like more of a dryness to like a British dryness. Whereas I think that sometimes when they have Hugh Grant, like he's very, I feel like the word is foppish. Like, everyone always like calls him foppish, but like, he's just kind of like dopey and like very like passive. And
I think that's why I love Hugh Grant
adoring,
movies.
Adoring. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, no, but like the thing is that I love when Hugh Grant's a little bit of a dick. Like, I think that he does that really well because he's not like, you know, I was thinking about actually like how to do that in contemporary times, because without being like, oh, he's like a male manipulator or something, like I
like
think
one of those movies where it's like this, they're enemies because he hates women and she's a woman, but then fall in love and you're like, oh my God.
No, I think he does that really well where he's like sympathetic but also like annoying enough for you to be like, you have that like attraction disdain thing.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, well, first of all, the one scene that I'm like, this is a little much for me, was the, I'm just a girl standing in front of a boy asking him to love me. I was like, sit the fuck down. Like, no, that is, if I found out that a woman I knew said something like that to a man, I wouldn't be able to look her in the eyes. Like, that's awful. But I loved the scene where they're sitting around the table and they're just like listing off ways in which their life is the most pathetic. I thought so British and fun.
So British, yeah. No, I like it. I mean, like, I enjoy a film set in London. Like, it's nice. And I also think that like the Julia Roberts as movie star thing, I don't think I have like good reasons for disliking. Like, I don't love, I have a weird thing about like, I also don't like love Pretty Woman. Like, I have like weird specifics about what I like for rom-coms.
Just not Julia Roberts. What's your favorite rom-com?
I love Julia Roberts. No, I love
Woof Woof.
Yeah, he's protecting us.
He's protecting Julia Roberts.
Yeah, he's like, how dare you? Figgy? Enough.
Oh, he's so cute.
He's so small. He's like, hello.
I know. That's adorable.
okay, I love this. Maybe I like it more when she's a little bit more lived in and bitter. I like My Best Friend's Wedding. Great film.
Oh, great.
Stunning. Yeah. Love it. That's like honestly like one of my favorite ones, because it's not a traditional like we end up together romance, but
no,
it is
she
a
dances
rom-com
with her gay friend at the end.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's how all my romances have ended.
Oh yeah, of course. Literally a little bit of a weird codependency thing.
Well, I wanted to ask about just you and your creativity. Because
my creativity.
Your creativity. Because I feel like, okay, here's the thing. Like you, both you and your writing are like, for this generation, like very idiosyncratic. So I want to know, where have you historically drawn inspiration from? Where are you getting it right now? What's the deal?
It's funny you say that, because actually one of my best friends who like never reads any of my work, like ever, he's just like opposed to it or something. But he's honestly like, it's so nice that you've like found an audience, you know, because you're so specific. And I guess like that's true. But I think a lot of the times, I don't know, I think that me and you are the kind of the same, where we like really have like older sensibilities about a lot mm-hmm. of things, and like a really specific idea of like femininity and like humor. And I think that is often like what I find like a lot of my inspiration from. And I always am like, I always like an archetype that has been historically wronged or whatever. And that is like a fun thing to play with. And I always like to also like be like, have a few like Easter eggs here and there. I find that like the thing that I'm realizing as I get older is that like actually a lot of this writing stuff is like so much based on the fact that like when I was younger and I was like little, like, you know, like you are playing pretend all the time. And it's just kind of like this idea of like playing and like trying things out and seeing what sticks. And that's like a fun thing for me to do. Like, I like when people give me a prompt, like I'm really bad. I think that like as someone who like is supposed to be like freelance writing as like my like living or whatever, I don't really pitch pieces. Like someone will be like, oh, like this thing, and like maybe you'll like that. And I'll be like, okay, like I'll try it out. Let's see what happens. And that's kind of how I've always done it. And sometimes I also do the thing where I'm like, I'm obsessed with this one thing and I want to like talk about it. Like recently I just finished a piece about fragrance, and it's going to come out, like it's about like a perfumer, but it's a kind of about fragrance as well. And like I had never really thought about it before, but then I was like, oh, you know, like I kind of want to like dip a toe, see what happens. So that's kind of like what I tend to do and kind of exercise like some of what I like to do and like see how it. Well, I don't know. I also like to get really, really granular. And like, for some reason, I'll be like, for the thing about fragrance, I was like reading a lot about the Ottoman Empire and like how they used incense, you know, like I like to get like really weird about stuff. And I feel like sometimes it's a little bit too much. But like, sometimes I don't even like put it in anything. But the fact that I like to like know about it and get obsessed a little bit about certain things and find out, yeah, like even still, like, yeah, idiosyncrasies about different topics, that's kind of what I like to do. And I like to, yeah, like just play and watch like a lot of films and try to read a lot as well. I find that reading actually is quite, you know, I have attention problems as well, so I have a harder time reading because it's like I like to be doing two things at once. So like for me, like that's why I listen to so many podcasts. I'm like, oh, I'm listening to something while I'm like doing something else. And yeah, I don't know. I think that that's just kind of what my thing is. I also just like, I don't really get caught up too much with like anything that's happening in like a contemporary way. I think that it's fine to like, I like to know what's going on, but I think that also like you need to have obsessions and like really weird things that you're into and like your house and the way that you decorate. I don't know, like the things that you surround yourself with. I think also my thing too, I'm so funny because I don't like to, I actually thought about this recently. I'm like, I don't ever really want to like take so many pictures of my house, you know, because I feel like my house is like so private to me kind of. And
sacred.
Yeah. And also like, you know, I think that there is this sense, and I'm so used to like everyone like showing everything all the time with like what they bought or what they are doing or like, I don't know, like what they're cooking and all these things. And sometimes I'm like, what if we just kept things quiet and just, you
what
just,
what if we had a room and we didn't do a room tour?
Yeah. How about like, that? Just be like, you know, I think that if you keep things privately, it does keep it like more sacred. And you kind of, it kind of like, I guess my thing is I think that it can be quite confusing about whether you're doing something for show or whether you're doing something for yourself. And I think that that can be a little bit like, yeah, like kind of trying to like distill what is important. And also like having that separation is important too, because I found that that was kind of the biggest adjustment for me. Like post the book and like kind of like being more known, is that like, you know, you kind of go in a little bit more like, but you kind of become more private. And I think this is the same with you too. Like you become a little bit more private and you share what you want to share, but you can't like, I don't know. You want to keep things a little bit like separated.
Yeah. Cause it gets weird. I mean,
yeah,
I used
too
to
much overlap. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially, I don't know how people like go on podcasts and talk about like, you know, oh, I went on this third date the other day and like, here's exactly what happened. Cause I'm like, oh my God. I mean, I'll tell past stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that feels different than being like, okay, I had a date last night and here's exactly what went down. Yeah. And like that person can listen to it. It's like some things should just be kept to yourself.
Yeah, or like you just tell your friends. Like it's
you
like,
tell your friend. You tell your friends every last detail. Yeah, because you'll like, still have to censor yourself at on a podcast when it's your friend. I mean, come on. Also, yeah. I wanted to ask you, where did you get your vocabulary from? Because especially in happy hour,
really,
the amount of words used in there that I didn't know.
No, stop.
I feel like I was in elementary
You're
school.
Being silly. Like,
I'm not
stop.
Being silly.
No, that's not even true.
Well, I could.
Where's my copy?
I think it's over there. Otherwise, I would pull it out and I would turn it to a random page and I would say.
No, I think that's not true. I feel like everything. I feel like, I think that over time, when you're in certain situations, I don't know. Yeah, I feel like sometimes like vocabulary is such a weird thing because I actually have this funny, it's one of my, I'm not going to say like, it's like an insecurity, but like one of my, a bugaboo or something, a little thing is that like, I actually do feel like sometimes when I'm with my friends who are like sometimes extremely academic and you know, so well-read and like have like these extensive, incredible ways of articulating things. And sometimes articulating things that have happened to me back to me that I'm like, oh my God, like my whole brain has exploded. You know, I think that there's this like, I don't know. I've always been a little bit like, oh, like I don't have that same kind of, I'm not like book smart in that way where I'm like, I absorb things like really quickly. I think that a lot of things and are kind of like through experience or just, yeah, like kind of when you come into contact with words, like, and what you're surrounding yourself with, I think that often sometimes that like rubs off. But I don't know. Yeah, I think that's like you too. Like, I think that it's a very much like a nurtured thing of like being in the world and like being around certain people and that growing in other ways. But yeah, I think that also like sometimes I'm like, oh, I think it's odd because when I watch too much Love Island, I just speak in Love Island language. Like,
that's how
constant.
You come up with the, you know, brilliant academic language that you
use.
Yeah,
absolutely.
What are some Love Island phrases?
Oh my God, there's so many. They use the word connection a lot. Like, do we have a connection?
Oh my God, I watched Love is Blind and they would get that little booth and they would be like, I like the Rangers. Do you like the Rangers? And they're like, yeah. And then it cuts to confessional and it's like, we had such a connection. And it's like, that's not what a connection is at all.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the same thing with Love Island too. Like, they'll literally be like talking about, like, oh, like, what's your type? And they're like, oh, I usually date brunettes. And like, everyone's like that. I usually go,
sorry,
for
I'm posting a vibrator ad, but go keep on. Talking.
Go on. Yeah, no, I think that it's like such a specific language, which is why I don't think it works for any other Love Island. Like, I think that Love Island UK is like the only one that works because it's so cultural, and they just have their own, like, their own lingo for everything. It's like, you're mugging me off. Just
that's amazing.
And like, everyone is just kind of and fake. Being called fake in Love Island is like the worst thing ever.
Death penalty.
Yeah, no, being fake is like the, oh, you're calling me not genuine, like, da da da.
That's the
like,
red
I'm in it
A.
for the wrong, yeah, I'm in yeah. it for the wrong reasons, like, da da da.
In it for the wrong reasons. Okay, last thing I want to do, because I like to do a little advice segment at the end of my episodes. Yes. So I have a couple of questions that I think you'd be able to do pretty well.
Okay.
The first one is, do you have any tips on how to style on a budget? The cost of living crisis is getting to me.
Okay, styling on a budget. I mean, I don't think that like you require like a lot of money to look good. I think that you can find, I think that basically like the thing that I would advise is to like really know what shapes you're looking for, like what shapes, like what kind of line of skirt you're into wearing, like this kind of thing. And then once you kind of recognize what the shape is of something, you can find it anywhere, I think, like a thrift store, like, you know, I know you love, what is it, TJ Maxx you love? I always think
I love TJ Maxx.
Yeah, TJ Maxx or whatever. Yeah, I think that like finding that. And then also like thrifting is kind of one of my favorite pastimes. And like, I guess for me, what I've always done is like, you always check the labels for what it's made out of and look for like cotton and silk and wool and these kinds of like actual fabrics instead of like a blend. Cause those things at least you'll know that like probably were
made
now longer ago.
The thrift stores are the only places that have real fabrics.
Exactly. Crazy. Yeah, I know. And even now I can tell the poly's slipping in more and more. The synthetics are coming
in. Oh my
god,
yeah.
Stores.
Girl, when you're at Goodwill and there's like a Shein.
I know.
I'm like, what is going on?
I know. It's very strange. But I also would say that like it's good to have kind of these staples that you always are going to wear like every single day, or like whether that's like also like the way that you do your makeup or like earrings or like a ring or something. I don't know. And you build out of that, like, I think that like everything that you put together can also like, just even if it's something that you're a little bit more uncomfortable wearing, like, it can be pulled together in a way that makes it feel more you, like with those staples, right?
True. I like getting specific. That's the thing, is like, especially when you go into a thrift store, you kind of have to know what you want.
Yeah, don't
because,
get overwhelmed.
Like, yeah, sometimes it's just like you see a label or you see like a specific color you want and it's like, oh, let's do that. And there's, you know, it's the wrong size. There's a cigarette hole burned into it that it's like covered in God knows what. There's stains. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So figure out what you want. Somebody else wants to know. And I mean, this has been an issue in my life that I've had to contend with. How to date men when men don't get your vibe.
I mean, I honestly think that like eventually you will meet someone who will get your vibe. I think that like it's really, I'm like very much someone who does not shrink to whoever I'm with's like ideals. And I think that honestly, yeah, I don't know. I don't really care about like what these guys like care about. I don't know. I think that at the end of the day, it's like, it's so much harder to shrink yourself into like this ideal of some, like someone else's ideal than it is to just like be who you are already. It's like, it's not good for you. I was going to say, it's not cost effective. It's just like not, it's just like so silly. And, you know, even if you try to be like someone else and they don't understand, they eventually start to whatever. Everything always comes out eventually.
Wasn't there like a Shel Silverstein comic that was like, this person was blue, so they covered themselves up so they didn't look blue. And this person did the same thing, and they'll never know that they're both actually blue. So be yourself. Maybe you can find another blue person.
Yeah,
join Blue Man Group.
I think honestly, like, I'm so past the point now for like being like also, you know, when someone doesn't really get you, no matter what, like how much you try and like, or how much they try, at the end of the day, it's kind of like silly to even, you know, be wasting this kind of time. It's like, it's just like incompatibility is not like an ego, like it's not something that's like it's going to bruise your ego forever. I think it's like fine to just accept that sometimes. You don't have to be desirable to everyone.
You also don't have to be like perfectly compatible to everyone. You could be a bit, you know, elusive, like, to someone who doesn't completely get your vibe. Sometimes that's kind of fun. Because they're like, what the fuck is she talking
about?
Lots
of people's vibes. Yeah, I don't get lots of men's vibes. I'm like, this?
And I get most of their vibes. Perhaps any, some might say.
They're weird. They're weird creatures. I don't really.
They really are weird. They have podcasts. They're throwing flirting parties. It's a lot.
Yeah, they rely on, you know, forums for like style advice. I don't know.
Oh my God. Yeah. Twitter accounts. So do you even want them to get your vibe is the question.
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on here. This was so fun.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure as always. Is there anything you want to say, promote, sing, whatever?
No, I don't know. It's fine. I feel like people will find me if they want to find me.
Oh my God. I almost made business cards once that just said famously elusive, but you can try. And then like my number and my email. So
I love that.
Marlo, famously elusive, but you can try.
It's true.
All right. Bye.
Bye.